This week, our television critic David Bianculli is at a conference in California where he's previewing the fall season's new shows. While he's giving that his undivided attention, Pat Ofterheide joins us as guest television critic. She has a review of two documentaries that will be shown this Thursday on the 42nd anniversary of the bombing of Hiroshima.
Happy anniversary, Hiroshima. That doesn't sound right, does it? The anniversary of the atomic bombings of Hiroshima and Nagasaki on August 6th is always an ambiguous event. Of course, you don't want to forget them. But couldn't we just kind of, you know, well, forget them? The anniversary poses one of the basic questions of our era. How do we even think about the unthinkable? How do we comprehend the unbearable? That's a challenge taken up on public television this Thursday. Some stations are airing a documentary called Remembering the Bomb. Others are airing one called Hellfire, A Journey from Hiroshima. Remembering the Bomb takes you to Hiroshima and Nagasaki for the huge 1985 anniversary of the bombings. We go in the company of some Americans, including peace protesters and one of the members of the 1945 bombing crew. Director Steve York steadily avoids sanctimony. In fact, the film astonishes for the way it shows you the problems the Japanese have in remembering the bomb. For instance, many of the bomb survivors prefer anonymity. They find they're often discriminated against in their own country. The documentary has a real you-are-there quality, and so it makes you ask yourself what people can and should do to remember horror without repeating it. In the documentary Hellfire, A Journey from Hiroshima, made by journalist John Junkerman and historian John Dower, we meet two Japanese artists, Iri and Toshi Maruki, who've come up with their own answer to that question. This aged couple have spent their professional lives jointly producing stark and elegant wall hangings on the most difficult subject for art, mass suffering. When you first meet the Marukis in their peaceful suburban garden studio, which has now become a museum, it's hard to understand how these people could produce, much less live around, their gigantic murals. The murals, in fine gradations of gray splashed with red, give you an intense sense of living and dying human experience. The Marukis explained to us that after the bombings, they both spent a month tending the wounded and burying the dead. They couldn't forget what they saw, and they couldn't make sense of it either. Painting their huge Hiroshima murals and then listening to viewers' reactions freed them from a paralyzing cycle of guilt, blame, and impotence. It took them beyond simple anti-Americanism. And then they went on to paint murals about Japanese war atrocities. They went to Poland to design a mural about Auschwitz. They painted the Minamata victims of mercury poisoning. Not everyone is happy with their work. The Japanese government, for instance, has declared it unsuitable for children. But that hasn't made a dent in their international reputation. And in Japan, their private museum gets 50,000 visitors a year. Political art is to art, they say, as military music is to music. You get the impression the Marukis would agree. As they work on one mural, you watch Iri Maruki's abstract style, which draws on Japanese traditions, do battle with Toshi Maruki's naturalistic and Western-derived style. The result isn't settled until the last brushstroke. By the way, their work is also available in a beautifully produced art book called The Hiroshima Murals. The Hiroshima and Nagasaki bombings ushered in a new era. Remembering the bomb reminds us that we're still groping for ways to even think about it. Hellfire shows us that it's possible to reclaim human experience out of horror.
Pat Ofterheide is film critic for In These Times.